Hello, hello, and welcome to, oh my god, welcome to Debugged, Jesus Christ.
It's usually me!
What?
It's usually me.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And I'm actually not buzzed at all, so I don't know what the fuck is happening, but sure.
That is said. Well, so we are here on season 2, episode 6 of Ted Lasso, The Signal. And in case you're wondering, yes, there's going to be cursing.
There already has been.
Yep, and there's going to be spoilers and fuck shit and whatever. We are, heading into like the end of this last
four episodes. Well, we already hit midpoint, so we're on the last half of season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there, aren't there 10 episodes?
10. Yeah, I think so. I think it's 10. Okay. Right, so this is episode 6. So, you know, we are past where, like, normally you've got, like, the big shifts in characters. And I think, you know, episode 5 definitely had some, you know, big changes for the season. So we are going to be seeing where things are going to go from here. This episode starts with Danny scoring.
Yeah, they are on a 4-game winning streak.
And everyone, all the pundits are referring to it as the Roy Kent effect.
And they're going to the quarterfinals of the championship. And we find out, this is a randomly way to go out of that, but Rebecca is apparently screwing around with a random guy named Luca, but she's still texting mystery guy because at least he has interesting conversation. And Rebecca's mom randomly shows up.
Oh, wait. The same wait, actress, there's a bunch of funny shit. You're skipping.
But really quickly, but like the actress who plays Rebecca's mom is, of course, it's this actress who's in fucking everything in Britain.
Harriet Walter. I looked her up because she
I was about to say, I don't know her name, but she's in everything.
Harriet Walter, who literally is in everything.
She
is, but I mean, you know, she's like, any British anything is going to have Harriet Walter in it.
I think it was an interesting choice for her to be in this role, but I think she does fine. It's just, I was expecting something different from Rebecca's mom, and I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. So,
the funny stuff.
All right, so there was funny stuff that you missed. So, yes, Rebecca is randomly screwing some guy, but while she is randomly screwing this guy, she is also still on banter with the mystery man, and so she's having this banter conversation about guardian angels. Mm-hmm. And the person who the mystery guy is like, oh, you can disbelieve guardian angels at your peril. And so she like yells out to Luca, who I guess is in the kitchen. She's like, oh, do you believe in guardian angels? He's like, you know, what do you mean by a guardian angel? Like he doesn't even know what she's talking about. Like,
no, he says like guardians of the galaxy.
He's charted.
Stuff that I missed.
So he's like clearly not getting it. And so she's talking to him about, oh, well, the cleaner's coming. Are you in my kitchen naked? You need to get out of my kitchen if you're naked, or put clothes on because my cleaner is coming. And so Rebecca's mom walks in to naked guy in the kitchen, and he's like talking to her, and Rebecca comes in and realizes, oh my god, it's my mother. And he's like, you have your mother clean your apartment, whatever. And I'm like, dude. And then the actual cleaner shows up, and she's like, I'll start in the den or something like those lines. Like, ugh. It's just super awkward. Then you've got Ted making a bunch of...
Well, the mom like mentions that she's leaving Rebecca's dad.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why she showed up out of nowhere. And then Ted...
Again.
Well, then we find out that Ted is still not... He still won't make an appointment with the doctor to talk because he still doesn't trust it. And he's still in denial. But as he's walking in, I have the closed captions on whenever I watch it just to make sure I don't miss anything. And as he's walking in, I noticed in the closed captions, as he's walking into the office, Nate says something along the lines of, and they just changed the shape of tortellini. And I'm like, that's so random, but that's really funny.
I didn't even hear it. Yeah,
exactly. It was in the closed captions, and I noticed. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's so weird.
That's really funny though. I also heard a little bit of the like tortellini, like the word tortellini. I was like, what?
Well, right. I mean, they do set this like it's really in an office, like it's really a conversation.
You know what we forgot to do? What are we drinking?
Oh, I'm having coffee.
I'm having sparkling sangria again out of the bottle like a hobo. Anyway, continue.
Because, you know, you're my child and I love you. You know, you're not homeless. I'm just pointing this out.
Alcoholic sangria, by the way. It's the same thing I've been drinking for the past two episodes. So anyway.
But she's going back to
the shape of tortellini. Anyway, and then basically, apparently a team in the Premier League hasn't won the championship in 40 years, and only 8 teams have done it total. And so it's an uphill battle, but they think that they might be able to do it and win the whole fucking thing. So then Beard apparently got back together with his toxic girlfriend, Jane.
Oh my God.
whenever they say anything about Jane, I'm now just going to picture him mumbling Jane and sprinting off.
Right.
And so when Beard leaves to call her or something like that, or gets a call from her, the Diamond Dogs assemble without him there and to talk about.
Right. But again, you know, this series is one of those Higgins highlights, right? So like Higgins has got this wandering desk problem, you know, this whole time the doctor's there and she's still using his office. So he's like in the weight room next to the
in
office.
In the corner next to the window of the,
yeah,
the
office. Yeah. It's like, it's sad. It's just sad. And so
and Higgins thinks about how to get into the office through the window, and it's just like, oh, just jump. And then it's just like, no, I can't do it, I'll just stand right here.
Even before that, like there part of and again it's just like highlights of the characters, you know, Ted is making a mention of the fact that Higgins is wandering, and Beard says something about he's a flangeur or something by nature, like, and I'm sure I'm doing this wrong, or flaneur by nature. It's some sort of French word. And Beard explains that he's a wanderer. So again, you get that highlight of like this weird reference, and that's Beard what knows what it is, right? And so Higgins starts questioning Beard about being back with Jane, and you know, as soon as he leaves, they're like, oh, we're gonna have a meeting of the unofficial meeting with the Diamond Dogs since Beard's not gonna be here. And Roy's like, I'm leaving. I'm not gonna be
he
part
just
of this.
Stands anymore. Outside the door that entire time. They talk about whether or not it's a good thing that Beard is with Jane again, and if they should mention it to him in any like serious capacity. And Nate mentions that offhandedly mentions that all of his first loves were sabotaged by his dad, because like he was his dad told both this one girl and Nate that they could both do better. I'm like, okay, that's a random thing, but okay, interesting. And then they end the meeting of like they kind of decide, okay, well, we should probably just let things play out. He's a grown man, he can do whatever he wants. And they end the meetings with barking, and yes. Roy comes back in because he knows it's the signal that it ends, and it's just like whatever.
And Beard comes back though, and he's like, oh, well, it looks like Jane got thrown out by her roommate, so she's moving in with me. And they're all like, oh, God, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But yeah, that's happening.
They're watching the team play, and Nate is being really harsh while Roy is giving specific critiques, and he's being giving constructive criticism, and he's being very specific because he knows how to do it and like how they will respond to certain direction. And so he's giving really helpful comments, and everybody, like all the team, cheers him for it because they get it.
Except that he won't coach Jane.
Yeah, he's ignoring Jamie. Right. I find so funny.
Right. But you know, while they're out there at practice, Rebecca yells out the window at Ted, like, hey, you're going to come to lunch with me and my mom. You're coming to lunch with me and my mom, please, please, please. And then her mom is there and she's yelling, like, I'm just one of those moms that believes that when life gives you lemons, you make lemon lavender mojitos. It's like
another thing that right before that is like she asks Ted if he has any lunch plans. And he's like, oh, me and Coach Beard do a secret sandwich switcheroo every other Friday. I'm like, what the fuck? That's so funny. But then, well, he agrees to go to lunch with her and her mom, and Keely actually goes along too. But he, once they close the window, Ted says, I like meeting other people's parents. It's like reading an instruction manual on why they're nuts.
Yeah, exactly, which is great. But he also then says to Beard, it's like, oh, you know, like, just spoiler alert, you know, I was getting you a bacon tomato sandwich or something like that.
On pumpernickel or something.
And Beard's like, same.
But also, there's a funny scream from Beard after Ted mentions the whole like instruction manual thing. Beard just go like really weirdly. I don't know what that was, but then they go back into the it goes to the office, and Ted gets a call from the school, and his kid apparently forgot his lunch and they're going on a field trip, but Michelle apparently is going to take care of it. And
he gets the call, he's in, and he's trying to explain, I'm in London, I can't exactly fix
look at the commute.
But it clearly, the fact that he is still the go-to parent and he's not able to be the go-to parent bothers him.
The long distance, especially from his son, really bothers him.
Yeah, I mean,
he calls her his wife really briefly, and there's like, oh wait, no, his mother. Sorry, yeah. It's really awkward. And then Jamie comes in, and well, he kind of dismisses it when people ask about it, and Ted does. And then Jamie comes in. Keely mentions that she wants to get a little bit drunk at the party at the lunch, so to get ready for this whole thing. And she asks Ted to drive and all that kind of stuff. And then Jamie comes in and he's like, so what do I do about Roy? Like, he's not going to, like, not coaching me. And it's just like, you want us to stand up to Roy? Okay, whatever. And then Keely basically says to Jamie, just agree with everything Roy says. It will annoy the hell out of him.
Right. And but then, there was one thing before that. Nate makes a joke. He's like, well, yeah, I'll get Roy Kent to coach Jamie when Roy Kent actually talks to me.
Oh.
But again, it's that he's feeling so.
And everyone laughs at the joke. Because it is funny, but like, it's very true.
Right, it's very true. And he's kind of upset that people are laughing about it because it is true.
Yeah, and then Keely gives Jamie the advice to just agree with whatever he says. It will kind of annoy him and all that stuff. And then they all leave and it's just Jamie and Beard in the room. And Jamie just stands there awkwardly and is like, I don't really know how to talk to you. And then Beard's like, then it's working.
I missed that. That's hilarious.
Well, also in the middle of the conversation right before this, like Jamie randomly says Philistines or something. And then Beard mentions as Jamie's leaving, he's just like, you need to look up what Philistines
right. He says something to them about being Philistines for not making Roy like coach him. Yeah. It's like, you need to look that up, dude. And so he walks away from
Pavlovian.
Yeah. God, he's just hopeless.
And Secret Santa.
That Secret Santa is a pretty basic cultural reference that you would expect somebody to be able to know, but apparently he doesn't. So they cut to the lunch, and Rebecca's mom, her name is Deborah, is rambling about the conversation she had with Rebecca's dad about leaving, about life is long, but it's also very
apparently
short.
It happened on the toilet.
Yeah, exactly. And then I stood up and flushed the toilet, and it's like, whatever. And Ted kind of jumps in. He's like, well, you know, the best advice I got when I was going through a divorce is leave people well. In other words, like, do the leaving well. And she's like, well, but if I understood correctly, your wife left you. And so he's kind of like, I don't know how to talk to you anymore. But the pub trio are shouting, and she asks
I love
the
this
pub owner, To have the pub trio stop shouting at the football. She's like, oh, you're not shouting at the football. They're shouting at the British Bake Off.
I love that.
Which, you know, there's a British Bake Off later.
No, there's a chant later. Well, actually, we'll get to that. Yeah, they're yelling at the Bake Off. And then Rebecca, once Deborah, like, goes and I think goes.
Oh, she goes because my psychic called. She told me she called exactly the right time when I needed her. Yeah. And so, yeah, she calls. It's pretty funny.
She mentions that her mom leaves her dad every few years, but it never lasts. But then you hear the chant for the pub trio, like chanting "poor little cake, soggy bottom," which I love. Because if you've watched,
yeah, it's like, "Oh, your sponge is terrible."
Yeah, no, exactly. Your sponge sucks. But I think that it's if you've watched Great British Baking Show, it's just perfect.
It is. But one of the other things Rebecca says, she's like, they do this every couple of years. He will buy her some expensive, environmentally friendly thing, and she'll go back to him. Which, of course, is exactly what ends up happening later on.
Well, yeah, we get to that later. But then we go back over to
Dane.
To Beard, who's in the office. Yeah. And he is, he's on FaceTime with Jane. And they're having a really weird conversation. And then Jane mentions, oh, yeah, I'm going to go hang out with my underwear model friend. We have to look at a shoot he recently did.
And a threesome shoot. A threesome shoot.
Yeah. And Beard's like, oh, okay. And then Higgins overhears it because he's in the weight room because that's his office. And he's just like freaking out, like, oh, God. And then I think Beard makes a weird noise in the like office or something like that. He does that a lot this episode. And then we go over to Roy and Jamie, and Jamie is trying to talk to Roy. He's kind of dismissing him, and then Roy just whenever he says something, Jamie disagrees, and Roy catches on immediately to what he's doing. And so Roy's just like, well, I think that you have ugly hair and you are ugly and you have bad hair, and then he makes Jamie repeat that because he knows exactly what he's doing. And then Jamie says it, he's just like, great, I needed that. And then he leaves. No, this is so funny. These lines are so funny because they go into the locker room and they're like having this childish like back and forth. And Jamie's like, I'm trying to build bridges. And then Roy says, you couldn't fucking build Jeff bridges. I don't know why that's so funny to me.
It's just bizarre. And so one of the things that Roy says is that Ted made, and he tells this to Ted. So they have a discussion about it after Jamie leaves, and he tells Ted, he's like, you made Jamie average. Oh, actually, right.
No, they did this in front of Jamie.
Right. So Ted made Jamie average, and at his core, Jamie is a prick, and I want him to be one. But sometimes, and he's like, but sometimes it's only is when it's appropriate to be a prick. And he's like, well, how am I supposed to know? He's like, we'll give you the signal. He's like, how am I supposed to know what the signal is? You'll know it when you see it.
But I also think it's funny because he's just like, you need to be a prick and you have to get into the other team's heads.
Yeah.
You have to use it to your advantage and not necessarily to your team, but like to the other team maybe sometimes.
Right. When it's appropriate, right?
Yeah. And then you go back over to Rebecca and her mom. They basically make plans for dinner. That's basically the entirety of that conversation. But then,
right? But she's making the barber guy kind of sweat it too. Like Rebecca's like, the bar guy is being very sweet to her, and she's like trying to debate whether or not she should meet him, whatever. But then her mom's like, "Oh, well, I want to cook for you, and we'll chat." Oh,
the banter guy.
Yeah, banter guy. Sorry,
you said banter bar, and I was really confused.
Sorry.
And then we go, oh my God, I wrote this down because it was really funny, but the main pub trio guy says that if like they're watching the match, it's about to start, and they're watching the other team get ready. And he says that if the other team wins the match, he'll burn the pub down. And then the owner looks at him like, oh my God, no, you're not. And then he's like, fine, I'll knock over a chair. And then she's like, no, you're not. And then he says, I will channel my raging enthusiasm into ways to help my community.
And she's like, there you go.
And then Paul, like, the nice guy, Paul, encourages him. It's funny.
It is. It's cute. And so they go back to the match, and it comes the proper time. It is time for the signal, and the signal is for all the coaches to flip Jamie the bird.
And I really love that the signal, it's like, you couldn't have come up with a better one. It's like, nope.
Well, right. And so like all of the coaches are doing it on both hands. And they're like, oh, well, we're sorry about the fruity hand signals.
Hand gestures.
But Jamie's like, hey.
He thinks about it. He's like, what the fuck? And he's like, oh. But then he's trying to be guarded, like someone's trying to guard him on the other team. And he basically whispers to this guy and is just like, you're going to foul me and I'm going to make that kick. And
I'm going to score from here.
And he's like, fuck you. And it's just like, haha. And then he maneuvers the play in a certain way so that he does get fouled.
Right. But it's funny because Roy knows exactly what's going to happen, just like Jamie does. But Ted does not. And Ted's like, all right, so do we need a trick play like Loki's toboggan or whatever? And Roy's like, no.
Upside down. Something or other. I don't know.
Right. And Roy's like, no, he's going to score from there. That fucker's going to score from there. And he
does.
He does it. And it's amazing. And so at that point, Jamie then flips Roy off. Mm-hmm. And the Jamie Tartt song sounds.
And Nate is feeling really insecure.
Yeah. Really,
but then you see in the stands a Higgins feeling very anxious. And Rebecca's like, it's about Beard and Jane, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And Higgins basically says he wants to say something. But Rebecca says that when she tried to say something to her mom after her mom's and her dad's first divorce, or them getting separated the first time, they got back to, like, when she said something to her mom, like, along the lines of, oh, this is good, like, I'm glad you did that, her mom got back together with them really, like, a couple weeks after, and didn't talk to Rebecca for 9 months.
Yeah, she's like it only hurts you, if you say something, it only hurts you, is basically her advice. And so Hagen's like, and Keely shows up, and she's like, oh, you're talking about Beard and Jane. Now that Jane girl, she's really crazy. Like, you know, she's like stalking him or something. She describes like Jane's just,
she's like in the parking lot all the time.
Right. And apparently she also at some point followed Keely home to see if Beard
and Ed were having an affair.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because she's like really just obsessive weird. And so Ted starts having a panic attack on the side.
He's like having like flashbacks to what Jamie's dad was yelling at him, and his kid being like, oh, Jamie Tartt. Like, you can tell that something like in that relationship, he sees some of that in maybe his relationship with his dad, and he's trying not to address it, but it's kind of hard not to. So he's having a panic attack. He leaves the field and it distracts people.
Right. And Rebecca knows what's going on. I mean, but it is distracting and no one knows exactly what to do from a play calling perspective, except Nate. And Nate steps in and, you know, does exactly what needs to be done. He does a triple substitution, which is very rare, but he knows what they're capable of. He calls it correctly and they win. But
yeah, and then Rebecca goes looking for Ted, and she just like finds his vest or something in the locker room, and she's like, oh, Ted. And then in the background you hear on the television that the team has just scored another goal and won the game, and the team comes running in like celebrating, and it's really high energy. But she's concerned about Ted, and Nate gets all the credit like for that last little bit, and people are praising him and all that stuff. And then Higgins, you go to the parking lot and you see that Higgins is talking to Beard about Jane, and Beard just hugs him.
And says, we'll never speak of this again.
And then Jane like just appears out of nowhere, which freaked me the fuck out. Like, that actually scared me. Genuinely, that scared me.
Beard, which she's like, I love that scared face. She's like,
I'm like, Jesus Christ. And then she gives him like this page boy cap that makes him look like Oliver Twist. And she's like, yeah, that's kind of my kink. I'm like, what? And so Beard's just like, can I have some more or something? It's just so
weird. Yeah, exactly. Just bizarre. But the Twitterverse is loving Nate too. And so they are, the team is super excited that they won and they're going for a drink and they invite the doctor.
And
so
she agrees to one drink with them and she's
going to go
back to her office to just settle some stuff. You see Rebecca in the car trying to call Ted, but he declines. And she says that she's going to have a tough conversation with her mother and need a pep talk. So after seeing the results of Beard and Higgins talking, she wants to talk to her mom about her dad and her relationship. And then Rebecca gets home, finds a note from her mom saying that her dad apologized and got her a Tesla. And she still left her the shepherd's pie that she was going to for dinner. And it needs 2 minutes in the microwave. So that's helpful. At least right. she got... But then Rebecca calls Luca to hook up.
Right.
And then as she's walking away, she gets a text from mystery guy.
The banter guy.
They meet. And then you see in the cab, it's Sam. It's mystery Sam. Guy is Sam.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute. And then you go over to the doctor who goes to her office and finds Ted on her couch. And he just looks broken. And he tells her that he'll make an appointment.
Yeah, he needs to make an appointment. And so that's where the episode ends. I did not write down a best and worst part for this. I would say my best part, actually, and this is going to be a shock, is Jamie.
I put him down as one of the best parts as well.
Yeah, I would say Jamie and his whole kind of turning it around in his dopey kind of way. And you know, he is dopey. He's not ever going to be my favorite character, but the fact that whatever psychological thing that needed to happen with him is happening, you know, is a good thing. So I would say Jamie probably was my best part of this episode. What was yours?
Well, I love Ted's arc in this episode. It's a bit abrupt, but it will make sense later on. Then Roy, I loved like him turning it around on Jamie. Jamie actually was another good part. And Higgins, I liked that it's a genuine thing where it's like, if you see something going on in one of your friend or colleagues' relationships that does not seem healthy, but they aren't acknowledging it and gaining the courage to actually mention it to them and giving them some advice from your perspective, but like doing it in a specific way. I kind of wish that we saw more of the actual conversation that he had with Beard, because I think that the phrasing of certain conversations like that is important. But yeah, I think that was a good best part. What about your worst part?
That's a hard one. Can you give your worst part first and then I'll give
Rebecca and her mom, I didn't really love because it's needed. It's an example of like bad relationships and stuff like that. Not necessarily mother-daughter relationships, but bad relationships between parents and how that it can affect the child and how they have to deal with it, like the repercussions of it. Like her mom just staying in her house during this like 1 week period of like, oh yeah, I'm breaking up with your father until he gets me a Tesla. So it's just like, it's seeing a different dynamic with her and her family and getting more insight into that. And then I said Nate, but I think it's more like his jealousy of Roy makes sense. But again, it kind of goes with his like personality right now is not really something I jive with. Like how he took charge without like even consulting anybody, kind of like it was interesting. Okay.
But yeah, they were under the gun too, and
it was fine, so that's whatever. And then
you can't do everything by committee. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I understand that, and so that's why he's just kinda. But we'll talk about mystery guy in a second. What's your worst part?
Now that I've thought about it, I would probably say the Rebecca hooking up with Luca thing. It's slightly comical, but it just. There's a shallowness to that. I'm not a hookup kind of person anyway, so whatever.
Well, I hope not.
But I guess, like I said, it was there for comic effect. The same, and I understand your frustration with her mom thing. I think that ties into some things that happen later in the season, so whatever. But the thing that probably bothered me the most was stupid Luca guy. Well, and of course, I could almost say Beard and Jane. I'm kind of with Higgins on that. Like, oh my God, what are you doing?
Supposed to be on Higgins' side.
Yeah, right. I mean, we're definitely supposed to be. But, you know, I love that Higgins did what he did. And honestly, I have been that person who's been like, hey. And, you know, you do, it is a test of friendship. But, you know, you got to, and a lot of times we'll stay out of it. Like, you know, if I don't know the people that well or whatever, but when, you know, you see it going really south, it's kind of like you see something, say something kind of thing. I feel like that's appropriate. So that was probably my worst part. How did you grade this episode?
I gave it a B+. And then I think we should probably mention the whole mystery guy thing. That will be expanded later on. Mm-hmm. But
well, hang on. I gave it a B. Go ahead.
Sure. I think it's an interesting choice. I'm kind of glad it's not Ted, because I think that it's way too, given Ted's trajectory as a person right now, he needs to deal with his divorce stuff first before he moves on to a dating app. And I don't see him being on the dating app at all. I don't think it makes sense. So I'm glad that didn't go that route. And in general, I'm glad, I kind of like that him and Rebecca are just friends. I'm glad that they show a lot of platonic relationships with women and men in the show. I think it's very important to show those.
Yeah.
And I think, but Sam, well, I think I'll have more to say about it as it goes on, because now they're about to meet up, that kind of thing. So I think I'll address more of how I feel about it then. But right now, like, if I didn't know anything about what was going forward, I'd be like, it's weird, but they just seem to have a good banter. So maybe they'll just banter. But I think that it's just like, it's weird. I don't know. I don't love it.
Well, it's interesting. I kind of, you know, I don't like the general cougar storyline kind of concept, but I do really like Sam.
I feel like they went that route with Rupert, and that's supposed to be seen as a weird thing. Like, they even mentioned, are you a character from the fucking Bible? You're having a child with this person who's way younger than you, like in decades younger than you. Like, it's
So is it basically to make her like into somebody who is like Rupert? Like, is she becoming Rupert? That is a good question.
Not really going that route. That's the thing. It's not just based off of like the conversations they have. Like, they do seem to have a genuine connection, whereas Rupert doesn't have a genuine connection with like anybody. But like,
right. He's not a human.
Yeah, but he just, it's just it's weird how they're trying to use this as a commentary on, I don't know if they're trying to do anything with that. They usually have a message about like certain kinds of relationships, but the way that they went from, oh yeah, it's weird when Rupert does it, to like, maybe this will work out with Rebecca. I'm just like, it's a similar age gap too. So it's like, I think Sam's supposed to be like 20, 21, something like that. Yeah. And Rebecca doesn't look it, but she is older. So it's just like, it's weird. And also there's a whole hierarchy within their own like business thing, where she's a higher up and he is a player. She is his boss. So yeah, that aspect of it as well, the whole HR kind of thing, it's like, it doesn't, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't think that it's one thing, and they actually do like jokingly say something about like that with Roy and Keely, like kissing goodbye in the hallway. Like, Ted's just like, oh, well, I'll have to call HR. And it's just like, whatever. But it's
like, I ship you guys so hard though.
Yeah, no, exactly. He still loves them, but like, and everyone does. But I think that, well, maybe Jamie doesn't, but like, I think the thing is, it's like, that was already a pre-established relationship outside of the workplace. That just happens to now be a part of the workplace, but they aren't doing anything like weird. Like, it's,
well, okay.
And they're not letting it impact any kind of work.
So the workplace romance thing, and you know, again, it's a life experience thing too, is like this idea that you're gonna be able to keep everything separate all the time in every possible way is not simple in real life, because, you know, especially the way life is now, work, you know, creeps into the hours that you would spend, you know, like just dating or, you know, going out or whatever. And so to be involved with someone who is unaware of or is not at least sympathetic to a job situation, I can see, or even meeting somebody, you know, because a lot of these people work very hard and they're like working all the time, or, you know, like for say a player on a team. So when they're not on the pitch, they're having to do all kinds of other physical training and, you know, all this other stuff. When do they have time to go out and meet people, right?
That's another element. It's just, I think the dynamic that now has been established, even without any knowledge, like even if I just purge all the knowledge that I know about like the rest of the season, which is limited to be fair, it just establishing the relationship of being like, oh, this is the person that she's really, really into, or this is the person he's really, really into. And it's just like, but that it, just knowing the situation of like her being a higher up and him being a player and her being his boss, it is awkward.
Yeah, of course it's awkward. Of course it's awkward, but how they met has nothing to do with that.
It doesn't.
And that's interesting. And, but again, you said like, oh, Roy and Keely weren't a workplace thing. Yeah, they were. She was working as the marketing person while he was still a player on the team. So,
yeah,
you know, they were. Now, there wasn't a supervisory role involved, and I get that, but how do you meet people, right?
Yeah, and I think it's just, it's the way that, what I mean is that, like, there's not a clear hierarchy in their relationship as far as, like, who's whose boss. Like, it's not, like, they're pretty on par. Even when she was a marketing, she, like, it was kind of a work with, not necessarily a work for relationship,
right,
even
right.
The marketing position. But yeah, that is true. They started dating when he was still a player. But like, I think it's just a different definition now with it. It's not just the age gap. It's the workplace environment thing. It's like, but we'll see that more going forward. And I'm sure I'll have more to say about it going forward, but
we will definitely be talking about it for sure.
It's certainly one of the decisions that was made in this season that I don't entirely agree with.
Well, we're going to see. And I think that, you know, it is an interesting dynamic that they're creating. All right. So we will be coming back, and I didn't even look at what the next episode's name is. Season 2, episode 7 is going to be our next episode. We are looking forward to talking about it and binging and all of those things. And please join us. And
cheers.
Cheers.